Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Every Friday afternoon, as part of our Ask Me Anything, we put your questions to people from interesting backgrounds, maybe working in an unusual or a different career, to our guest. And today I'm talking to war photographer Paolo Nunes de Santis. Paolo, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me,
Andrea. Lot of listener questions, which I'm not surprised at, coming in for the kind of work that you do. It's 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. But just first of all, Paolo, did you always want to be a war photographer?
No. Never thought of it, and just happened naturally. I studied journalism in college. The reason why I chose to study journalism was mainly because I was looking for a job, a future job that could allow me to travel the world. I always had interest in travel to places where people usually don't go, and that the particularly interest in the post-conflict scenarios. I started as a reporter writing and taking photographs to illustrate the feature stories I was writing about. Eventually, one day I was in the middle of an active war zone, not really thinking much of it. And when I came back to reality, I realized, I can do it. I can do it. It was exciting. I can pull it through. So I start to cover more and more and more conflicts. And in the past nearly 20 years, I covered most of the conflicts. Some of the biggest conflicts in the planet. Yeah.
So you started out as a journalist, and in print, and then really moved into war photography. Doing that about 20 years now.
I still do write occasionally. Yeah. Write features. Write for a Portuguese paper, and I've had my byline in the New York Times a few times as well, and the Irish Times and places like
that. Yeah, good stuff. Well, a lot of listener questions, as I mentioned, Paolo, in for you today. The first voice note is in from Adam.
I was wondering how you publish your work and how you make sure that loads of people see it, just as I personally haven't seen a lot of war photography.
That's an interesting question. I'm a freelancer, always been a freelancer and independent journalist and photographer. Within the time, I started to build up a connection and the relationship with many publications around the planet. So, editors, and if you have interest to go to a place, in my case, I mostly choose where I want to go.
Okay.
But I have interest in certain regions in the planet, so I'm keeping an eye on certain conflicts or brewing conflicts. And so I contact these editors I know, and they will tell me yes, we're interested or not. Now, the industry is changing and changed a lot in the couple of years, and it keeps changing. The budgets are tight, more tight than ever. Sometimes I have publications who ask me to go, so that's easier because there's a guarantee that they're
going to take your work and you get paid, basically.
But usually I do, there's an element of measuring, is it worth it or not. So what I do, I will go to a place, but before I go, I tell editors that I'm going to be from this time to that time, more or less, in this place. This is the stories I have in mind. I'm going to be doing them. Will they be interested or not? I always, because I'm a freelancer, I can sell to various publications, you know. So usually it works out well for me.
Okay. We have another question in from Jason.
I'm very interested in photography myself. And I was reading an article on a lady, a very famous photographer. And one regret she had after being a lifetime of photography was some images haunted her. I'm just wondering, with your experience and your background, would it be something that you have considered, or is there an image out there that haunts you?
Great question.
Yeah, he's a great question. I would say that I have been exposed. I've seen the worst of humanity. And there are moments that they own me, and that you build up. Usually I say you have a rucksack and you keep putting stones into it. Eventually you feel it. Images I have done, I think I have images I did not do, or I chose not to do, that haunt me more than the images that I actually took photographs of.
So the sight that you might see.
Yeah, this is sometimes we are all humans. Okay, we I don't believe this idea of the people who work in war are brave, or that I don't think that's the brave. We all are scared. We all have emotions.
Of
we
course.
All have feelings. We all have empathy. And there's moments where you choose not to photograph or to put your cameras down. And I would say those moments probably are the ones who won't be most
launching the most. Well, I was thinking that because we obviously here in the radio industry are governed by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, and we have guidelines that some of which include areas around taste and decency. And I'm sure, obviously that, Paolo, for you, that's at the back of your mind always too.
Well, yeah, there is. When you are in the field, you are photographing during the day and you come across a lot of very gore and graphic images that you produce. But before you send that to a desk, to an editor, you already do an edit to a certain amount of, let's put it in brackets, tasteful degree, right?
Yeah.
And then the desk filters even more, edits tighter the thing, and there are images that you choose not to send because there's no value. Could be a shocking value, but there's a more tasteful way that might make the public, the person who's consuming the image, to make them think more about the subject matter than necessarily just gore.
Okay.
Images.
Yeah. We've another voice note in from Chris.
I just like to know how he works around restrictions by the military forces in a conflict, like we're seeing with Israel stopping foreign journalists getting into Gaza at the moment. How does he get around an issue like that?
Yeah, I throughout my career, there have been very few times we call this embedding with a military force. There are all. Depending what army we're talking about, they do have restrictions to a point that the Americans, for example, from Afghanistan or near Iraq, they would you would not be able to file by the end of the day to file the photographs or images without being pre-censored by them. Including the famous thing of they're not allowing to show the coffins or the body bags of American soldiers, for example. I try not to do embedding with the armies, mostly for that reason, because I'm there to tell the story, what's happening, not what they want me to be.
Well, you're a freelance journalist. Yeah. It's not propaganda, yeah.
Having said that, I have, in many, many occasions, get access to conflicts, to places with rebel forces. So I've been smuggled into certain countries, to see what the own government is doing to the people. And usually when you are embedded with the rebel forces who don't have the same sort of hierarchy and some sort of regulations as a regular army, you have much more freedom to...
How nerve-wracking is that?
Very nerve-wracking, yeah. But you build, you kind of... Although you see a lot of the worst of humanity, you could learn as well to understand that there's good people out there, and there's people who want to show what is really happening in the field, you know.
We have another question in from Emer.
So I just wanted to know, were there any moments of brightness and hope in these terrible scenes of war that you got to use to depict that it's not all doom and gloom when you're taking your war photography?
For sure, definitely, yeah. You see the worst of people in conflict, but you see the best of people as well. And you can see how people can adapt very, very rapidly, very quickly to the worst of the situations, you know. And you tend to find people come together and help each other. The most vulnerable people tend to help each other and come together in those situations.
Yeah, I'd say they're hard found, though, are they, at times like that?
They are, and sometimes what breaks you down at the end of the day when you are looking to the work you did or what you've seen throughout the day are actually those gentle moments, those scenes that you see someone taking care of an elder or children or something. Those moments are sometimes can be tougher. Because you can imagine yourself, you can put yourself in that situation. I have children. I can imagine what would I do if I was living in a situation like that.
Yeah. We have another question in from Jackie.
With the advancement of technology, does this make your life a lot easier with the equipment that you are using now compared to what you were using years ago?
Must it?
Yeah, it does. It does. The way to transmit images, for example, the way even the cameras themselves, like they allow you to carry, they are smaller, they allow you to carry less weight and to work in the nighttime without flashes and stuff like
even
that.
Even for developing, though, I'm sure, if you were doing that.
I have never done that, but I have colleagues who, during the war in the Balkans, they tell me like they used to carry bottles of chemicals to develop the solutions, you know, like, and then wire just two photographs by the end of the day with some very rudimentary kind of fax type machine thing, you know. Nowadays, you bring a couple of hard drives and cables, you know.
Simple as that. 087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp number. James has sent in this voice note, Paolo.
How has your view of humanity changed in the instance of going before you went to war versus after, in terms of our capacity for violence and cruelty?
One thing I learned is that we as a species, we haven't learned much from the wrongdoings. If you asked me that question 20 years ago, I would probably be a bit more optimistic and more naive, maybe. One thing is, we are living now a terrible war or two, and I'm pretty certain once this one is finished, will be another one coming. What I get from that personally, when I come home, I appreciate more what the life situation that I was. We are privileged, like this guarantee, like we living in Ireland, living in Portugal, where I come from, living in Europe, we are privileged comparing with people that I've come across throughout my life. And I do appreciate that. You wouldn't see me getting upset because the bus is delayed 10, 15, 30 minutes.
It puts it all into perspective, for sure. We have a final voice note in as well from Mickey.
Has he ever been shot or shot at?
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't been shot directly, but I have been shot at many times. I had a jet fight shooting rockets at my car. I have been had mortars landing beside me. I've had hand grenades thrown at me. I've been under sniper fire several times. And I have been arrested by secret services and beaten. And I have been in many situations I wish not to be. But I always pull it through. And so far, so good.
Yeah. How do your family deal with this? With your job, because it's an unusual, you know, I suppose, profession, given the line of work you're in and the level of conflict that you cover, and it's got to be a worrying time for them when you go away.
It is. Like I started to do this before we had kids. I was together with the girl that is my wife. Now we have been together for many, many years. She's Irish, the reason why I live in Ireland, and she has a thing of not listening to radio, watching news or reading anything when I'm away. She doesn't want to know what's going on.
How do you keep in touch?
Depend. Nowadays it's a bit easier. I travel a lot with a satellite phone where I say if I'll be able to call. I tend to call every day or at least give signs that I'm okay. If I won't be able to, going to be not safe to call for a few days, she knows that. Since the kids are born, like my oldest one, Oliver, is 14. My youngest, who's just back there, she's 8, Millie. I found like whenever started the invasion of Ukraine 2.5 years, 3 years ago,
yeah.
I found for the first time that a certain level of anxiety in the kids that I never noticed before. And I think that had a bit to do with the fact that it was so mediatic. Everybody was talking about it in school. And then in school, they knew that I was there.
Yeah, and then daddy's going out to record.
So they are asking questions, people are asking questions, and so I kind of start to sense some sort of anxiety in them that I made me think that this is not fair to put on them.
Will you stay doing it?
I don't do it as regularly as I used to, for various reasons, and one of them is because of the family. But I get itchy feet when I start to see something happening somewhere that I know I can go. I don't want to be told how it is. I want be me telling Ovidy's. Telling I want to the see story. It myself.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's been fascinating, Paolo, to chat to you today, and I really appreciate you dropping into us here in studio. That's war photographer Paolo Nunes de Santis with us here on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.